Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
The matchups, the superstars, the games.
Starting defense, place at the table. Woo!
This is Football Sunday on The Fan, a comprehensive look at today's National Football League action with your hosts Mike Lynch and Rashad Taylor.
You all know what you have to do. Remember, no one, and I mean no one, comes into our house and pushes us around.
This is Football Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
Hour 2 of 2 here on Football Sunday. Mike, Rashad, and Preston with you today until 11 o'clock. We got a Preston edition of Hit It or Love It coming up at 10:30. Well, let's dive into the AFC title game. Just spent most of the first hour talking the Saints and the Rams. And let's start with the Kansas City Chiefs, who are the home team in this title game against the Patriots. You've got the Andy Reid storyline. You've got the Patrick Mahomes storyline. And you've just got a good offense and a defense that played out of their mind last week as well, because they were really bad this season, the Chiefs defense, and they played great in their game against the Colts last week. Where do you want to start? What's the most interesting storyline to you in this game? Is it the Andy Reid stuff?
Probably Andy Reid, but it's hard to say it's not Mahomes. So we can start with Mahomes, I guess.
Okay. Well, I think Patrick Mahomes is special. And I think the reason the Chiefs have a chance to break this curse of never making it past a certain spot in the playoffs, or the poor clock management of Andy Reid and all that kind of stuff, is Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is a different quarterback than Andy Reid has ever had, ever. I mean, Donovan McNabb was great, but Patrick Mahomes is better. And he creates things where nothing is there. Kind of similar to what Donovan McNabb did, but in a different way, where the kind of the sidearm throws, it's a little bit more, I don't know, theatrical, I guess. It's cooler the way Patrick Mahomes does it. But there's just something about the way Mahomes plays to me that screams he's the difference maker between another Andy Reid playoff loss and an Andy Reid Super Bowl win. And it's crazy how young he is and how quickly he was able to do it. And it also, I think, helps prove the point of, if you sit a quarterback for a year and let him learn the system, it's that much more beneficial to bring him in the second year, like they did this year. And where he was, remember, this is his first year as a starting quarterback, his first. I feel like there's this thought that Patrick Mahomes has been doing this for a couple of years now. Like, look at how good he's become. He played one game in his rookie season, week 17, one game. And he came in and did this. That's crazy. So I think he's a special quarterback. I really do.
I think he's a really special athlete. I think he got incredibly lucky with getting one of the best offensive minds that you'll find in football and Andy Reid. Like, we can say what we want to about his play calling at times, or about his clock management, or whatever the case is. Andy Reid is indeed, like, you look at the coaches that are in these, you know, like a final four of games, and man, holy hell, like, Andy Reid, check. Sean McVay, check. Sean Payton, check. Bill Belichick, check. All four, probably, arguably the best four coaches in football right now, right?
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? That's clear. Like, I mean, arguably the best four quarterbacks, you know what I'm saying, in football right now. But Patrick Mahomes just feels different. He's like a, and I say this about a few different guys that just seem special, he's a created player. Like, it's almost, he's almost unfair. Like, he's big, he's strong. And then he makes something out of nothing. I saw him throw, it was an out route. It was the craziest thing in the world. And it was like a curveball that he threw. And he did it like kind of this weird sidearm thing.
And he like flicked his wrist.
And it was lit on an out route. And it curved in and got to his receiver. And
I had to rewind it like 7 times. It's like, I'd never seen anything like that. He's done multiple no-look Magic Johnson-type passes, you know, looking left and throwing right.
He's like, thrown with his left hand.
Who does that? He'd switch the ball and, like, oh, and just, who does that? Like, he does stuff that if you saw somebody doing a game, you're putting him on the bench immediately. How dare you go out there and do that? But it works for him. Like, he has this certain type of magic. And then on top of that, you throw in what I think should be considered the best receiver in football, and nobody ever gives him that title. But, man, you tell him to find me a better receiver than Kareem – or, excuse me, than Tariq Hill.
Well, it's tough. I don't think he's the best receiver, but, boy, is he fast. And he is always wide open. I don't know if he has the best hands. I don't know if he runs the best routes, but, boy, is he –
there's nobody in the frame when he catches the ball.
Because, like, he is, like –
that's what I'm saying. Like,
blazing fast.
You watch Antonio Brown. You watch Odell Beckham, who I've said on the show is the best receiver in football.
Michael Thomas.
Tariq Hill is always open. Like, that's the craziest thing in the world to me. And, like, when I say open, watch today. When he catches the ball, there's going to be no one around him. And that's the craziest thing about it. So everything is working in his favor. He had a great running back in Kareem Hunt for a lot of the season. You have the best tight end in football. Not a lot of first and second year players get put in the position to where they have all these weapons to play with. Baker Mayfield can say, man, look at all the things I got to play with my first year, and look how successful that he was able to be in his first year. Man, Mahomes has arguably the best everything, you know, had the best everything around him for an entire season, and it resulted in 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, and an 82% quarterback rating. Get the hell out of here.
So good.
Get out of here, man. I've done that on Madden twice. Get out of here, man. Like, yeah, this dude is legit.
Hey, passing the ball in Madden is hard.
It's difficult. I took Madden back to the game, to the store this year. I'm done with this game. I was frustrated.
Those cornerbacks, and I'm not exaggerating, they float across the field to intercept your passes. They're like, they're over here on the right side of the field, and then you throw the ball, and they levitate across the field, and you're like, okay. All right, game, busted game.
Forget this game. I took it back to the store.
Well, Madden sucks now. Yeah, hasn't been good for a couple of years. The Andy Reid stuff too is interesting. I'm just looking at his history. He's made the playoffs in 13 seasons in his career, and he's been coaching since 1999. He's only missed it like 7 times, and he's never won a Super Bowl. He's only made it once, 2004. Eagles lose to the Patriots.
Hell of a game by T.O. in that game.
That was the Terrell Owens. Wasn't he playing like a broken leg? Like
broken foot.
Yep. Broken foot. Here is his history. Lost NFC divisional game. 3 straight years lost in the championship game. Lost in the Super Bowl. Lost in the divisional game. Lost in the championship game. 2 straight years losing in the wild card game. He switches to the Chiefs. Loses to the wild card game. 2 straight years losing in the divisional game, and then lost in the wild card game last year to the Titans on the Marcus Mariota catching his own deflected ball touchdown, if you remember that one. Titans then got destroyed by the Patriots in the next round. But he has not had success in the playoffs. There's constantly been criticism about his time management, about his timeout usage, and about he kind of gets conservative in the playoffs. He's a great offensive mind, but he does not call crazy offensive games in the playoffs. But, and I've said this before, I think I said it last week, I think Patrick Mahomes is the difference maker on Andy Reid making the Super Bowl again, because he kind of doesn't allow you to call a conservative game plan. He is so – on all the stuff that you were talking about, the sidearm, the left-handed throws, the no-look passes, he is so extreme to that level where even if it's a conservative play call, Patrick Mahomes can make it a 40-yard gain because he's moving around in the pocket and Tyreek Hill is open, like you said. And I also think – Andy Reid, for the first time in a while, feels confident enough in his quarterback, right? Alex Smith is good, but did you feel confident enough in Alex Smith to lead you to a Super Bowl? No, you're probably going to call a pretty conservative game plan when Alex Smith is there. But you don't have to with Patrick Mahomes. And frankly, now that Kareem Hunt got cut and Spencer Ware is hurt and you're using Damian Williams as your starting running back and there's all sorts of weird things going on there, you got to call passing plays. So Andy Reid is now forced to be more his usual offensive self. And with a quarterback that can make that kind of a difference, that's why I think he's going to make the Super Bowl again this year, finally.
I mean, it would be a great accomplishment if Andy Reid would finally be able to really get over the hump and make it to the Super Bowl. More than that, win the Super Bowl. You know, this exercises a lot of his demons if he can get to the Super Bowl and win. All of a sudden, everything about the clock management, everything about the conservative play calling or the 3 straight NFC championship games and only the 1 Super Bowl appearance, everything – is instantly erased. You know, you forget all that stuff. It just becomes a part of the story. It's no longer the story. And if he can go in there and beat this Patriots team, do I really think either one of these other teams could score? Like, not really. Like, I'm putting my money on Kansas City if they can beat the Patriots.
Absolutely. All right, let's break. Coming up next, we will get to the Patriots side of this. And this is one. You tell me where you want to go with this, because I'm a little bit unsure of what to discuss with the Patriots, because they've been here so many times. Maybe it's the Tom Brady road record. Maybe it's the fact that the Patriots play so many games at home that they actually don't really succeed on the road in the playoffs all too much. That's interesting. But it's tough when they've been here for 5 straight years or whatever it is, and it's the same thing every single year, the same quarterback, same coach. So you tell me, what do you want to lead with the Patriots next segment? Is it the road stuff?
Is Tom Brady overrated next on the Fan?
Oh, yeah. Well, it probably should be the road stuff, because it's not something we often talk about.
Okay.
You know? They're never on the road. So,
Tom Brady overrated next on the Fan?
All right.
Football Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
10:16 here. We've discussed Flacco being an elite quarterback. Is Tom Brady also considered an elite quarterback?
Tom Brady's a bust, man.
Overrated system QB.
Yeah.
Thank you to our main P1 texter there for texting that in. I laughed a lot at that. Give you some credit, because I was stealing it from you there. Yeah, let's talk about the road record for Brady in the playoffs, and in general, just the way the Patriots have fared in the playoffs. I'll start actually with this season. I saw Adam Schefter tweet this out today. Patriots went 3-5 on the road this season, which doesn't bode well for their chances today. Out of the 104 teams to reach the Super Bowl, only two of them, 1.9%, had a losing record on the road in that regular season. Those two teams, the 2008 Arizona Cardinals and the 2010 Green Bay Packers. So that doesn't bode well immediately in terms of teams with road records.
No, it doesn't.
But I saw a stat that Tom Brady I'm going to see if I can find this. I don't know if I can find it immediately. I was looking for it during the break. I think he's 1-4 in his last 5 playoff road games. And it's kind of stunning to hear that stat. But then you realize that they're the one seed almost every single year, and that they're constantly hosting the AFC title game. So they get to the Super Bowl a ton when the road goes through Foxborough. But on the road, they've struggled. You remember they lost to the Broncos a couple times on the road. They lost the Steelers on the road a couple of times. They lost the Colts on
lost
the road.
Lost the Jets.
Lost to the Jets. 2010, which on the road.
Mark Sanchez, baby.
Hurt. So, yes, you know, that's definitely a problem. But I think there's a common thread between all those teams that you just mentioned and the Jets. And I kind of wrote it down. So, 2009, we lost to Baltimore in the wild card game. To 2010, lost the Jets in the division game. Man, 12, the Ravens in the conference championship. Then the Broncos twice in the conference championship in 2013 and 15. One thing all those teams have in common is those defenses were sick. Like, we forget how damn good that Jets defense was, you know, at a point. Man, they were incredible. You know, you forget how good that Baltimore defense was that had Ed Reed and Ray Lewis in 2009. Incredible. Obviously how good those Denver defenses were. And the one thing those teams all did is they pressured Tom Brady. What Stephen A. Smith says is that he made him tap dance in the pocket. They get to Brady and they get to him quite often. And it makes him nervous. The last time they lost in the conference championship game against Denver in 2015, man, Denver bought the pressure the entire game. There was nothing that they could do. Like, they got to Brady every single time they could. This is the difference. I don't think the Chiefs have a guy like that. Justin Houston is the closest thing to...
I mean, he is that guy.
He is. He is. But, you know, again, he's been good this year. You know, he's been better than he had been over the past couple of years, because there was a time Justin Houston was considered one of the best linebackers in the league, and then the Chiefs were kind of down, and, you know, as far as defensively, and Justin Houston was just kind of okay. Now I think he's now that they're good, he's back to that point to where he's legit again. But if that's the only pass rush I have to really worry about, like, it's just a Denver's pass rush that brought, you know, that could rush 4 and they could still get you, but then they would also rush Von Miller at you, and then you had no chance. Like, I'm not so concerned with what their defensive line and their defensive unit could do against Brady. Even in the game they played against Tom Brady in New England, like, they didn't get to Brady like that. And everybody knows, if you want Brady to have a bad game, and that's where it starts. It starts with Tom Brady. If he can have, he's going to have a bad game. It's going to force him to run the ball, and then it's a wrap.
And you're right about the Broncos. The three of their road losses are to Denver.
Yes.
In 2005, 2013, and 2015, they lost all three of those games at Denver. And you're right, those defenses were great. However, two of those losses, the Chargers and the Colts, debatable on whether or not they had the kind of pass rush that would really, really affect Tom Brady. Now, that's earlier. We're talking mid-thousands with those. But maybe currently, because Brady's a little bit older, not quite as fleet of foot. Now, granted, he never really was fleet of foot, but he's even less fleet of foot at this point in his career. If you just get some pressure, it's going to be that much harder for him to do it. And you're right. I don't know if the Chiefs can do that. But what I do think is the Chiefs' offense might have enough firepower to make up for that defense not being able to do it. And we saw it in the regular season game, right? The 43-40 Patriots win. Is the Chiefs 100% had enough offensive firepower. Now, of course, the Pats won the game. It was a really close game. It was fun to watch. But I think in a scenario like this, when we look at games with the Patriots in the AFC title game, we often say, well, of course the Pats are going to win, right? Of course they're the favorite because they're the Patriots. And there's not many teams that have had a chance to beat them. Frankly, if it was anybody but the Broncos, it was, oh, yeah, the Pats have got this, right? They'll be fine. And I think a lot of people learned what the Broncos were doing was working. And plus, playing in Mile High a little bit different than playing on the road elsewhere as well because mm-hmm. of the altitude. But I just feel differently about it this year. I think the Chiefs are the better team across the board. I do. Brady is the better quarterback, but I think Patrick Mahomes has had a much better season. And you can't argue that. The running game, they're about even. I'll probably give the Patriots the edge on that because they've got some better running backs. Chiefs have better receivers. The tight end game right now, the Chiefs have a better tight end. Yep. Gronk has not been that good. Nope. Defensive-wise, they've both struggled this year. They both played really well last week to kind of step up for the playoffs, but neither defense is particularly great. So I give most of the lead here to the Chiefs. Head coaching-wise, it's really close. I'm going to give it to Belichick, of course, but it's a lot closer than people will say. I just think the Chiefs are that good this year where they could really be that thorn in the side of the Pats to give them that loss.
I mean, I can't disagree with really anything you said. Like, you're, man, absolutely right. You know, the Chiefs on paper are a much better team than the Patriots are. Like, and I would say in every facet of the game, but, you know, right now, Kansas City's total defense for the regular season, do you know where they ranked?
Like 29th or something?
31st.
Yeah, second to last.
Second to last. You know where the Patriots rank? 17th? Not there, but they're 16th? Like 21st.
Oh.
So they're still...
Not great. Like you
said, pretty bad. But and that's the great thing about football to me is the fact that, man, this is just one game. You know, they don't have to play each other, you know, two out of three. It's just one game. And if you're giving me one game with experience and of Tom Brady and the experience of Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman, who last week, we're not gonna mention that Julian Edelman moved into second all time in receptions for the postseason. Mm-hmm. We're just gonna kinda gloss that over. Like Julian Edelman. We didn't gloss that over.
You just brought it up.
No, I'm saying like not T.O., not Randy Moss, not Larry Fitzgerald, any of the great receivers that we've seen over the past, you know, 40 years. It's Julian Edelman. And it's, you know, and I think that's the experience factor that we're talking about. This is going to be frigid temperatures for the most part. We think 19 degrees, probably right around there. The Patriots are used to playing in this. Not to say Kansas City's not, but they don't play this deep into the season. You know, they usually play wild card, divisional round, usually on the road somewhere. So, this is the first time they're going to be home in this type of temperature. So we'll see what happens. I honestly think the Pats have the experience. And I'll go with the experience. Look, these dudes are outside in.
Well, no, those guys are in a studio.
Oh, okay.
The guy on the right, I don't actually know who it is. He is wearing,
That's a salmon-colored suit. Are you guys watching NFL Network?
Yeah, no, we're watching ESPN. Whoever the ESPN reporter is, he was joking, I think. But he had a hat, gloves, an entire face mask on.
Yeah,
they're having Jeff Darlington. That's who it is, Jeff Darlington.
They're gonna have a little fun with it, but make no mistake, it's gonna be cold out there. And
I want to see if Mahomes can have a Kaepernick-type night when Kaepernick was in Green Bay. No sleeps. I want to see if he can do that.
I love watching sports reporters in, like, 20-degree weather. It's so funny where they're just – I mean, I feel bad. I've been there. I did local TV for a while. I watched the – or I watched reporters just have to dress up in, like, you know – 5 layers. I covered the Oregon at UW football game a couple years ago when it was like 24 degrees and I was filming for 3.5 hours. That is painful, man. Ugh. It is painful.
Oh yeah, when I was at Cuse doing TV stuff, you're outside in the 10 degree weather and just like, okay, when I do this hit, I can go inside and I can warm up, but I'm gonna have to come outside to do this hit again, and it's gonna be sucky because I'm freezing and I'm gonna be shivering and my teeth are gonna be chattering, but I'm gonna do my best. Yeah, it's brutal.
I mean, when you're playing, you're not really thinking about it. As long as there's no wind or no rain tonight or something like that, they should be fine. But when you're playing, you're not really thinking that much about how cold it is.
Are we giving predictions for this game yet, or is that later in the show?
No, we're doing it right now.
Okay. Can I just say that I think the Chiefs are gonna win by double digits?
Go for it.
That's I'm not even coming in with a screaming A hot take here. I'm thinking that the Pats are 3-5 on the road this season. They're a completely different team away from home. Brady in the playoffs historically has struggled. The Chiefs have a way better offensive roster. Gronk is I can't even remember the last time I saw Gronk make an impact play.
Rashad's eyes are dying.
I've watched the Pats play the last game. I can't even remember the last time I was like, wow, that was an amazing play by Gronk. Granted, okay, he's been good.
Yeah, we talked about
blocking,
that a little bit.
Blocking. Like, you know, I've seen NFL reporters like praise the heck out of him for his blocking abilities the last couple, whatever. I'm seeing Chiefs big in this one. I really am. I think the Patriots are overrated this year. I think they're a great team historically over the last decade, but they're overrated this year. Give me the Chiefs by double digits. Give me Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
Music to everybody's ears except for one, Rashad Taylor.
Oh, I'm not tripping because
I was trying to fire up my guy Rashad over there.
Because guess what, man?
I saw a little bit of his eyes, the soul in his eyes died when you were talking about how much better the Chiefs were.
No, because guess what, man? Yes, 3-5 on the road. I'll definitely give you that. But the teams they lost to are some of the worst teams in the league. These aren't the best teams. A lot of times you play down to your competition.
Hold on.
Lost the Jaguars. Okay, ugly
You're
loss.
Using them losing to the worst teams in the league as a
they
positive?
They play down to these dudes, man. You go out there and lay an egg against the Lions. Word. Then you, on the most improbable play of the year, they lost to the Dolphins. They go out the next week and lose back-to-back games for the second time in the year, but like the first time ever they lost back-to-back games in the same season. Lost to the Steelers, which the Steelers, they almost won that game, you know, but up until the last minute. So I'm not really concerned about any of those teams. They lost the Titans. None of those teams are great. And so I think that's a team that went in there and kind of played down to their competition, whatever. I'll go ahead and give it to them. You're absolutely right. Gronk hasn't been the same dude, man. His blocking is amazing. He's become more of a safety net for Brady coming from the right side. That's really his role now. But I'm looking at experience. And right now the Pats have all the experience. And I could be tripping, but I'm pretty sure they won the last game they played against the Chiefs. The one game that they did have that meant something was against the Chiefs, and they won. So but you look at both teams, man, subtraction from both teams. You take away Kareem Hunt from this from that Chiefs team. You take away Josh Gordon from this Patriots team. Now, I mean, I'm not saying that's a little more even all of a sudden, but the Patriots beat them when they had everybody on their roster. You know what I mean? And Josh Gordon was a big part of that game, but he wasn't the star of that game. So I'm going to go ahead and say the Pats, 3-5, they don't have the defense that the Denver Broncos, the Baltimore Ravens, the New York Jets, they don't have that type of defense. And so because of that reason, Brady's not going to feel a whole lot of pressure. I'm giving it to the Pats.
Chiefs win by 3 points to cover the spread perfectly. 31-28 in this game is my prediction. They get them back for that field goal loss they had in New England earlier in the year, as Rashad puts on his all leather.
So I do my Lee Corso.
Well, that is leather.
I'm
That's
picking
nice.
The Patriots.
Is it leather or pleather?
It's leather.
Real leather?
I don't know. I got it from top to bottom. It's probably pleather.
It's probably pleather.
Yeah.
With his pleather Patriots hat, puts it on. I can't speak. Rashad hasn't worn a hat in like a year.
Yeah, my hair won't really permit that as much anymore.
It does. It kind of poofs out of the side because you grew it out a little bit.
It's a little different.
All right. So that's our predictions. You guys both took the Saints. I took the Rams. Rashad took the Pats. Preston and I took the Chiefs. in this game. I really just want to see Chiefs Rams again. That was so fun. I want it.
Please. I just want to see Mahomes in the Super Bowl just throwing 80-yard passes.
Yes, that would be fun too. All right, let's break. Coming up next, it's Hate It or Love It. Rashad got his first win in quite some time last week.
Man.
But now we have a new scorer, so we get to see where the bias lies with Preston.
Don't cheat like Jesse does, Preston.
Jesse doesn't cheat, don't worry.
Jesse hella cheats.
He just agrees with my points more. That's coming up next.
Football Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
All right, that music means it is time for Hate It or Love It. Very interested to see what Preston brings to the table today. And Rashad got his win last week.
Woo!
So you can choose. Do you want me to go first now? I tend to win a lot when I go first, but then you get cocky and say, no, I'll go first. I'll win that way. So what do you want?
See, he had to throw the jab in there with like, you tend to get cocky. So you know what? Screw you, Lynch. You can go first.
Okay.
You.
Okay. You know, all right, Preston. All right. What do you got for us? What's our first question?
Which is what he wanted.
First question, gentlemen. I've been watching this guy, Michael Thomas, for the Saints. He's a youngster, only 25 years old. Been in the league 3 years. He has a 1,000-yard receiving season every year he's been in the league. This year, he finished sixth in receiving yards in the regular season. But, you know, he's been receiving a lot of praise, been doing well in the playoffs, et cetera, and making big catches. So, Michael Thomas is the best receiver in football right now. Hate it or love it?
I'm going to say hate on that one. I think he's the most underrated receiver in the NFL, but I'm not going to say the best receiver in the NFL. He is a product partially of the New Orleans Saints system, which is predicated on a lot of passing, a lot of open receivers, and he's the only target in New Orleans right now for Drew Brees, so he's getting a ton. We talked about it in the first segment where he's a guy who no points yet, Preston? Damn.
Oh, my bad. I was drinking coffee.
No, okay. He's good. You're right.
Thank you. Ooh.
Whoa.
There we go.
A little liberal with the...
He's predicated by that great offense of being the only top receiver in that. We talked about it earlier in the show where he gets 15 targets a game. So, of course, he's going to have a great season. I actually tend to agree with Rashad. I think Odell Beckham Jr. is one of the best receivers in the NFL. I think Antonio Brown is one of the best receivers in the NFL. I think you're seeing Juju Smith-Schuster kind of start to get up into that range, mm-hmm. too.
Ooh.
Really, really explosive guy. Tyreek Hill, a guy that we mentioned as well. So, Michael Thomas, of course, one of the best. I think he's the most underrated receiver, but I do not think he is the best receiver. So, I will say hate.
I will also say hate, although I think Michael Thomas is on his way to being one of the best receivers in the league, and it's going to be unquestionable. We don't know what's going to happen with Antonio Brown. He put out this weird cryptic like goodbye to the Steelers, so you don't know who's going to be his quarterback as you move forward, so how good is he going to be? But then you look at some of the other guys that are in the mix, and it's guys like Adam Thielen, George Kittle, and Devontae Adams. Those are all good guys, but you know, moving forward, I think Michael Thomas is going to be the guy. He's 6'3", 215 pounds. He's a prototypical type of wide receiver. He's almost like somebody like Julio Jones, you know, but he just gets in the end zone a little more than Julio. I don't think he's the best receiver now because you still got guys like DeAndre Hopkins.
We forgot about Julio, too.
He's still got guys like Julio and DeAndre Hopkins and Mike Evans, and these are guys that are currently considered better than him as far as stats, and I don't think Mike Evans' quarterback has been trash, and yet still he's still able to perform. What would Michael Thomas be able to do without Drew Brees, who's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time? So I think he's on his way to being one of the best, but at the moment, he's still within that top six, top seven range, which isn't bad.
Yeah, I guess I should have really emphasized, like, right now, given the year that he's playing and what he's doing for the team that's making the Super Bowl run. But,
Even still, right now, you got Julio,
who led the league.
I think he's still a top seven, top eight guy, because you still got to talk about Odell and how terrible Eli was, but still able to have 1,000 yards. You still have to talk about Keenan Allen and the resurgent year that he had this year. You got two guys from the Rams that both had 1,000 yards this year. So, I mean, there's a lot of really talented receivers out there, right?
Okay, can we get Rashad to answer first? I want Rashad to answer this one first, just so we can make everything fair.
As long as I get more points, I'll answer whatever you need me to.
Here we go. So we got a tweet from Adam Schefter this morning. He's reporting that Patrick Mahomes could land the NFL's first ever $200 million contract because he's going to be eligible to rework his contract a year from now. And the reason it'll be the first ever is because salary cap's going up. Aaron Rodgers did sign, you know, the equivalent of the max last season. So hate it or love it, if you're in the Kansas City front office, you would give Mahomes this $200 million contract.
Absolutely love it. To quote the great Arizona Cardinals receiver Rod Tidwell, show me the money. And $200 million definitely talks. Patrick Mahomes is something that we've never seen. Like, you're used to seeing guys that are able to scramble, but that's really what their strength is. You're used to seeing guys that are be able to stand the pocket and deliver with a cannon. That's what they do. Here's a guy that's doing all those things, and then he's kind of implementing his own little style on top of that. And on top of that, you got a guy like Tariq Hill who makes it that much easier for you, and Travis Kelce who makes it that much easier for you. $200 million for a guy like Patrick Mahomes, who's only, what, 23 years old?
Yep.
Man, that's nothing, considering you're going to have him for probably, I'm considering that you're probably reconsider or reconstruction some stuff, so probably have him for about 7 years as your trigger man. That's absolutely what I would do, considering how many guys out there right now are anywhere close to a Patrick Mahomes. Man, you look at the Trubisky, no. Goff, no. Good. Carson Wentz, no. You look at all these young quarterbacks in the league, man, he is by far and away the best of any of them. So absolutely, $200 million, you're getting off cheap for somebody like Patrick Mahomes.
I'm going to say love for this one as well. The big thing for me, there's two big things. The first one is, if you get a quarterback who you think is your franchise guy and he is this young, give him as much money as he wants and as much money as your salary cap can fit, because we see what happens to teams who get stuck in the quarterback purgatory. We talked about it on the show hundreds of times. My favorite team, the Denver Broncos, are stuck in quarterback purgatory right now, and they suck because of it. They have a great defense. They had a good set of wide receivers, Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, and they cannot make the playoffs because they don't have a quarterback. It's just that simple. If you get a quarterback, you need to keep him locked down forever. Even if he's just an okay quarterback, you still should probably give him some money to keep him locked down, because you do not want to get stuck where the Broncos are. So that's number one. Chiefs need to do that with Patrick Mahomes. Two, it is getting harder and harder to get a college football quarterback coming out of the draft to give you an instant impact in the NFL, because the systems are different and a lot of them are just not ready for the speed and the ferocity of the NFL game. You mentioned him there, Rashad. Mitchell Trubisky, one of the top picks in the draft a couple of years ago. He's been good, but he hasn't been ready yet. Jared Goff was awful in his first year, and he still has shown signs of weakness as the number one pick from 3 years ago. Patrick Mahomes comes into this draft and just lights the world on fire immediately when he's playing.
And who was he?
And he was an air raid guy. Air raid quarterbacks have struggled in the NFL in the past. He comes in, and all of a sudden, he wants to change the NFL to be more like him. That's how good he is. So those are the two main reasons for me. Well, I'm going to say love for this. $200 million, yeah, that might hurt your team in the long run, but you're going to have Patrick Mahomes for, like Rashad said, 7-8 years moving forward. Do not let that go. Do not be stingy with your purse strings if you're going to be looking at Patrick Mahomes for your contract situation.
All righty. And finally, number three, we're going legacy chat. I'm not much of a legacy chat guy, but I thought it's kind of interesting. We got Andy Reid, who's one of the more dominant storylines left, along with Mahomes. He has a 12-13 postseason record. He's trying to shake the postseason demons off. Meanwhile, Drew Brees has a little bit of the Peyton Manning syndrome going, which is, of course, an all-timer. However, he's got that one ring, has struggled at times in the postseason. That high-flying offense when they take it on the road, especially outdoors, struggles as well. So I'm kind of going with a who needs this more, and I'll say Andy Reid needs to win the Super Bowl more than Drew Brees does, while they both need it.
I'll go first on this one. I'm going to say love, and it's partially because of what I said earlier in the show today. I don't judge quarterbacks' greatness by their titles. I think it's a part of the conversation, but it's not what should be the end-all be-all with how you judge quarterbacks. I think you do judge head coaches a little bit based on how many times they can make it to the Super Bowl. And on the flip side of that, seeing how many times Andy Reid has failed in the playoffs is even more substantial in terms of his legacy. Andy Reid is one of the great head coaches of all time in this game, but he is never going to be looked at it like that because of his history in the playoffs unless he wins a Super Bowl. This year is his best chance to win a Super Bowl. It just frankly is. It's a time when there's not a lot of great defenses in the league, so his offense, with how good it is, is going to be able to win offensively. This is the first year the top four offenses have made it to the final weekend before the Super Bowl. And because Andy Reid's defense is so bad, he actually has that chance this year. This is his best chance. He needs it. Coaches need it to cement their legacy. There, you never talk about coaches who don't win Super Bowls. You don't. You just don't do it. It's different with the quarterbacks, and that's why I think Andy Reid, it's that much more important for him to do it.
Yeah, I agree with Lynch. I love Andy Reid. Absolutely needs to get this Super Bowl. Sean McVay is in a situation where he's young. He's 32. He's going to have multiple opportunities to compete for an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. Bill Belichick has
He's got like 30 years ahead of him.
Yeah, exactly. And Bill Belichick has been there. Drew Brees has already won his Super Bowl. Sean Payton's already won his. So everybody in that conversation, with the exception of Andy Reid, is in this conversation of great coach. You know, I think McVay is not great coach, but yet, because you know he's a great coach and you know he's going to get there eventually. He's still really young. But Andy Reid is at that point to where he's older. His mustache is grayer. If he doesn't get this now, like, how many more opportunities is Kansas City as a front office going to give him to finally get over the hump? If you finally have the quarterback you need, the receiver you need, the tight end that you need, the running back for a while that you needed, and you still can't get there, and you still can't make it happen. If I'm Kansas City's front office and GM, I'm kind of looking like maybe you're not the answer that we need at this point. As great as you've been, how exactly you're going to be able to get over the hump?
You got to break through that wall.
We talked about it. You know, the whole thing about Andy Reid for the longest time has been clock management, conservative play calling, all these things. All those demons can be exercised with one Super Bowl win. All it takes for a great coach is just one. That's the good thing about the Super Bowl. You don't have to win 4 and 5 to be considered great. It's so tough to get to that game. Man, one can mean the world, and that's all he need is one Super Bowl. If he can get that, everything for Andy Reid will be forgiven. All the other people in the Super Bowl right now, we know they either have time or have got their hardware already. Andy Reid is the one guy that needs that for validation.
Well, you guys both agreed with the love it's and hate it's. You both made equally good points. I thought Lynch started off better with his Michael Thomas take, but then my guy Rashad came in with the solid KC Chiefs takes down the stretch. It was close, to be 100% honest. I didn't tally every single point. However, the tiebreaker is going to go to the man with the fresh jumpsuit on today.
Woo!
And that is Rashad Taylor.
Black mannequin, ladies and gentlemen. Woo!
There
I'll
he
take
is.
It. You know what? This is a good start to a good day to be a Pats fan. This is win number
Don't
one.
Don't ruin it. Don't
this
start with the Pats
one.
Chat.
As I knock on wood, as I say this is win number one. Take that, Lynch.
I feel like that was stolen from me because there was no tally.
Take that, Lynch.
Does Jesse really tally it somewhere every single time?
Oh, yeah. Wow. He's got a little paper in front of him. He tallies.
There you go.
He even tells us the amount of points that we got.
And the people's choice. Thank you.
The people's choice went with Rashad.
The people's choice. I appreciate it. I love you for it. And so that means I get to host the last segment, right?
That does mean you get to host the last segment.
We're going to talk more Patriots. We're not going to talk Patriots. Instead, we're going to do that whole legacy thing that we talked about earlier.
Let's
do
it.
We're going to talk about which of these players coaches or whomever from each franchise really needs the Super Bowl for their legacy. That's next right here on The Fan.
Football Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
I like how you have to take the hat off for the headphones.
It just doesn't work. It feels stupid with a hat on anyway. I'm almost for certain I'm not going to wear a hat until I at least cut my hair. What time is it?
It's 10:50.
10:50. Regardless of the music that's playing, I did win Hate It or Love It. It was glorious domination, but it's all good.
Let me see if this is the right one.
That's my bad.
It's okay, Preston. I'm not tripping, bro. It's okay. I won. Hey, man.
That was unintentional.
I'm jovial. I'm going to go to get some food.
Is this
going to
punch it? See if this works.
Punch it.
No, it doesn't work.
Oh.
It's all good.
There it is.
There it is. Sounds good. And I wish my son was listening. He loves this song. Glorious. No, and this is how I hope to feel right around 6 o'clock this evening. You know, so right after the Pats go ahead and put up a great game against the Chiefs. I'm really excited for this game. And so as I was driving in, I kind of had this thought. It's like, man, there's a lot of legacy on the line, as we just talked about Andy Reid, and we talked a little bit about Drew Brees. So I want to go through each team, if we have time, and really talk about maybe a couple people, not necessarily players, you know, maybe it could be a coach, that really this Super Bowl win would do for their legacy. So we've mentioned Andy Reid.
We're going to stick with the Chiefs just to start. Lynch, who do you think, as far as winning a Super Bowl, who benefits the most for as far as legacy from the Chiefs?
Honestly, outside of Andy Reid, if we're going to ignore that because we just talked about it, I'll say Mahomes, because it's very rare that you see I know he's not his in his first year, but a first-year starting quarterback make it this far, right? The closest I think we got to this was Ben Roethlisberger in his first year. I don't remember if they made the Super Bowl, but they made it deep in the playoffs that year. I remember that. It's rare. And it's a guy who's already getting a lot of respect, and you saw the report of the $200 million contract. And imagine if he wins a Super Bowl in his first year starting. That would be
nuts.
It would create a legacy that we haven't seen before. Now, of course, he would have to then live up to that throughout the rest of his career, which would be incredibly difficult. But I think that would mean the most, in my opinion, to Patrick Mahomes.
I it's hard to disagree with that. Mahomes, you know, if you come in, your first year as a starter, you put up 50 touchdowns, you lead your team to the Super Bowl. Well, the only thing about Mahomes is, like, where do you go from there?
He's going to win MVP, too.
Yeah, he's going to win MVP. It's like, what's that?
I see you win again.
I mean, you win again, but that's the thing. If you don't win again, or if you never get close again, then everybody's going to say you peaked your first year. You know, so that's kind of a – early success can be kind of a bad thing, because if he doesn't respond, and if he doesn't come back with an even stronger second season as a starter, like, who knows? My guy from the Chiefs is Travis Kelce. I was going to say Tariq Hill, Travis Kelce. Here's why. He has been in the shadow of Rob Gronkowski for the past 5 years or so. Like, everyone knows Travis Kelce is an incredible tight end, arguably the best tight end in the league, but he's not quite Gronk. And even though Gronk has had a down season, he's, you know, the injuries have finally started to catch up with them. If both guys were free agents right now, guarantee you talk to Gronk first. He's a better blocker. Once he's in one-on-one coverage, there's nothing you can do about him. You have to double-team Gronkowski. You don't have to do that with Kelce. I think if Kelce can come out this game and outplay Gronkowski and then go into the Super Bowl and have a dominant game there, kind of the way Gronk did against Atlanta, he can cement himself as not one of, but as the best tight end in football. And that's a big thing, because Gronkowski has held the crown of best tight end in football for about 7 or 8 years now. It's been a nice little stretch, you know, even with he and Aaron Hernandez. Like, it's been a nice stretch for Gronk. If Travis Kelce can come out there and take that from him, I think that can go a long way towards really cementing him as the best tight end in football.
Well, I'll just say with Mahomes, I think he's gonna get the label of best player in football if they win the Super Bowl this year, because he threw for 50 touchdowns. He's gonna win the MVP, and if he wins the Super Bowl and he beats the Pats and then either Drew Brees or that amazing Rams roster in the process, like, people are gonna be like, "Yo, this is the best player in the NFL right now." Yeah. And so I think it means the most for Mahomes.
Why is Keyshawn Johnson showing pictures of athlete hair to Patrick Mahomes right now?
I don't know, they have nothing else to talk about right
now. Have you guys seen Brandon Marshall's hair today? His hair is nice.
Really?
What does he have?
He's got like a, it's completely shaved on the sides, and then he's got like a little fro going on top, but then like a man bun to wrap it up in the back. It's pretty unique.
That sounds confusing.
I love how they're making this, like, they're showing Patrick Mahomes, and, you know, they're showing his haircut. I love how they're making it like it's, he did that haircut. That's been a cut that's been out for quite a while. Odell Beckham kind of started, but it's whatever.
We only got a couple minutes, so you want to go rapid fire real quick?
Go rapid fire, sure. Let's go Saints.
Okay. Sean Payton.
Drew Brees.
Okay. Patriots.
Gronkowski.
Julian Edelman.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And then Rams.
Sean McVay.
And Ndamukong Suh.
Ooh, Portland's kid. Go, Generals.
Portland's very own.
And Ndamukong Suh.
There we go.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you, Preston, for filling in for Jesse. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, Preston.
Thanks, guys.
You can catch any of the show if you missed it on the podcast, 1080thefan.com, Les Schwab Tires podcast, once we are done. Coming up next week, I am out next week. I am going to be in the Mile High City, Denver, for the first time ever.
That's dope.
I've always wanted to go, so I'm pretty excited to go next weekend. And so Rashad will be here. Jesse should be back next week. It'll be Pro Bowl week, but you'll know who the Super Bowl matchup is. So you can get some hot Super Bowl talking. And the week after that, I'll be back for our pre-Super Bowl show, which is always a blast. And then we bid adieu to Football Sunday.
It's been, thanks for everybody for rocking us for Football Sunday.
Yeah, appreciate
it's been
it.
Super fun, fantasy football, all that stuff, man. We've had a lot of fun with you guys.
Yeah, only a couple of weeks left of it. So I'll be back in a couple of weeks on this show, but keep listening next week for Rashad and Jesse, and if you bring anybody else in, like sometimes you will do. And yeah, thanks so much for listening. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and enjoy the games, everybody. They are going to be a ton of fun. We'll see you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.